An eerie and strange sound, almost frightening. Yet it's made by one of the world's friendliest and most entertaining mammals, the dolphin. In this case, not just any dolphin, but Fungi, a fully mature male specimen who lives in the waters of Dingle, County Kerry. Fungi was first discovered by two local divers, John O'Connor and Ronnie Fitzgibbon. Ronnie has since written a book on his experiences with Fungi over the past 5 years. No strangers to creatures who frequent the waters of the Kerry coast, I wondered what it was like to come face to face with such a huge animal for the first time.
My first encounter was on the Whitwick end of 1966. Being born, Strand in Dingle was the home of Tralee's Aqua Club. And, you know, over the years we were scouted, and at that time everything was spearfishing. So I remember one day I was spearfishing, and the next thing I saw this pollock, and he's swimming along, a massive size of one. And of course I went to shoot him there. I looked up and I saw this grating over me, and I nearly died with the fright. And it turned out to be a dolphin. And that dolphin's been quite a while around Dingle, and then just disappeared. And again in 1974, another dolphin took up residence in Dingle, but unfortunately he died. And then again in 1984, Fungi came.
What was your first meeting with Fungi like? How did you come to find him in the first place?
What happened actually was, it was John O'Connor and his daughter Deirdre, who live in Beanbourne, and they used to go down there in the evenings, you know, for a swim. And John was teaching Deirdre snorkeling, and when they went swimming there, the dolphin just appeared. So John rang me, and the following evening I went out, and there he was, the dolphin, and that was the start of our relationship. You know, we were as afraid of him as he was of us. But however, you know, it took 2 solid years before we were able to touch him. And in that time, you know, he was coming closer and closer, nearer to us, and eventually, like, he just allowed us to touch him.
Yeah. When you found him first, how aware were the people in the town that they had a dolphin living right on their doorstep? Did they know at that stage?
Well, the fishermen knew there was a dolphin there in the sense that he always followed the boat in and out. But I think some of them thought we were stone mad, you know, trying to swim with the dolphin. But you see, for quite a while, the dolphin was in Beanbourne Strand, and we swam in and around Beanbourne Strand with him. And it was only then, when we found, you know, that the weather was getting bad and everything, that it was important to move away from there, because it cut down the time we could spend with the dolphin. But by moving him into the harbour, which took over a month, generally, like, the water there is glass calm, and it's very easy to swim there. The only problem is, like, if the boat's going in and out, but we were able to spend time, and that was the time that I think that the fishermen thought we was done, raving mad to be swimming with the dolphin.
Is it a case when you go out now in the boats that Fungi finds you rather than you go looking and find him?
Yeah, Fungi is always waiting in around, you know, we'd say from Hussey's Folly across to, you know, across to the Gravelly Strand. He's always in around there, but now he doesn't get much of a chance now to be on his own. You know, there are boats and tourists all the time out to see him.
Dolphins generally, although they're quite prolific around the world, very little is actually known about them.
There's very, very little information on dolphins. When we started to swim with Fungi, we found it impossible to get information on dolphins. No matter what book you get, you'll find only a few short little paragraphs on the dolphin. And I think what we have discovered, or what happened with us over the years, you know, is probably as much as you know, the information we got, let's put it this way, the information we got was from true experience and from spending time with the dolphin. And for instance, the experts tell you the dolphins swallow fish head first, but no one told that to fungi.
Is he the sort of dolphin that you've read about in the books, apart from that, or generally?
You know, for instance, like in Ballybunion or in the Mahari, is when you're going out in a boat, dolphins will generally appear and swim with you. And if you stop the boat, they'll come around for a while and then they're gone. But it's very hard to say with fungi that he's so unique. You know, he comes and he'll stay around the boat and you can get into the water and he'll come to you and he'll play with you. And I suppose everything he does is unique, really. It's different than what the other dolphins do. But one, for instance, Christmas morning in 1988, Christmas morning 87, John and myself and his daughter went out to, and a lady from Cornwall who wanted to see the dolphin, we went out. And prior to that, the weather had been quite bad and we hadn't been out for the week. And when we went out the mouth of the harbour, we went into a place called the Gravelly. And generally, we just pull in the boat there and put on the gear and get in then and swim off with him. And he beached himself. You know, I suppose he was so lonely, he had no one for a while. He just beached himself completely out of the water, and then we were able to rub him down, and he pushed himself back in then again and went off out and swam with us. And
Was he in any danger at that point, if you hadn't been there, do you think?
Not at all, no. No. Oh, no, I've often seen him go right up in a rock and hold himself out for a couple of minutes at a time and then just turn around and throw himself back in again.
He has thrown fish into the boat, too.
Oh, on numerous occasions he throws, not alone into our boat, but into every boat out there, you know.
Is this just part of a game he's playing?
I think it's part of a game, yeah. He likes to, you know, he says, look here, lads, there's plenty of fish for everyone, take a few in. What happens is, to say, on the evenings, when the fishermen are coming in from the day's fishing, they are cleaning the fish and they throw out lots of dead fish in the harbour. And they sink to the bottom, and I suppose fungi thinks that they're trying to feed him. So he comes up then and throws fish back into the boats, thinking that he's giving back what he got, you know.
By now I'd heard enough. I knew I had to experience this fascinating creature at first hand. Ronnie made contact with John O'Connor, and it was agreed we would take a boat trip the very next day. So on a frosty but clear morning, we got into our wetsuits, put the inflatable boat in the water, and headed out of Dingle Harbour.
Have we started to move into his area yet?
We're not far off now at the moment.
So what's the first sign of him? Does he surface just off the...
Normally you'll just see the fin, you know.
Yeah.
Coming from the distance, getting bigger and bigger as it comes. And, or often he just appears right alongside the boat.
Yeah. So it's a case of keep a sharp eye out sort of from now.
That's right.
He'd probably sneak up on us when we're leasing.
Yeah. Go on the far side there, I'd say.
Where are we now exactly, John? What is the name of this area?
Just along back here, you have the beach, as we mentioned already, as the name of the Slaudee. And where you have those little huts there, that's Nancy Brown's parlour. And here then on our right, looking at it from this direction, is Bean Vaughan Lighthouse.
Right.
Paddy Ferreter is the man that looks after the lighthouse at the moment.
So it's real fungi territory here, anyway.
Oh yes, it is. Those rocks there are great for fishing off of. To catch pollock and mackerel there, grass. That's Bean Vaughan Head over there. On our right over there is the Torrid Vaughan, they call that place. And that's Bourton Point out there. Bean Vaughan Village coming up here then on our left. And no sight of the dolphin yet.
Has he ever let you down, Ronnie? Has he ever not shown?
Once ever.
the BBC came.
It would be that day, wouldn't it?
That was the one evening. There was no sign of him. High up, blood on myself, said replace. And in we gave up. We thought he had disappeared. And the following morning we went out, and there he was, and he waiting for us. He said he had a bit of business.
He could be out feeding, of course.
Oh yes, quite possibly. Generally just straight out from the rocks here, he goes.
We've more or less left the safety of the harbour now, we're almost out in the open sea. I'll be very disappointed if he lets us down.
No, I promise you he won't. Towering barn now, and directly out from the towering barn he feeds.
Does he like the shallow water?
Oh, he does, yes. He spends most of his time in the shallows.
Is this a cave here?
This is a cave, yeah.
How far does this go in?
In a little bit, but it's not.
Yeah.
He'll be often just lolling around.
Is this where he sleeps?
No, further back.
This is incredible. Amazing formation.
Yeah. Push down there, please.
Have you ever dived in here at night, John?
Oh yes, we're regularly diving. This is an ideal place for diving at night.
Ask him about his night.
Pretty scary, I would imagine, coming in here at night.
Yeah. It's just better in the day. Yeah.
What's this cave called?
I don't know, I'm sorry.
It doesn't have a name.
I don't know.
Beautiful visibility, the water's crystal clear.
Yeah, the whole purpose of our visit is to see the dogs, but we haven't yet seen it.
At this stage, I must admit, I was beginning to get a little worried about our chances of ever seeing fungi. We'd been out for about half an hour searching, and still no sign. Then the excuses started to flow.
Of course, the locals now are after allowing him a holiday. So, he's visiting friends. You wouldn't settle for an old duck.
That's a
black
sea one.
That's a
boar. What's the
geezer
there,
look? You see the way?
Oh, it's a blowhole.
Yeah.
Do you know where that goes? That probably goes back into the cave.
Oh, true.
From.
He's here.
Right. Woohoo!
Where is he?
He's just
ahead of us.
Just under you there.
There he goes.
Oh, right. Oh, right alongside. What is he weigh? Has anybody calculated, John?
Well, I'd say he weighs between 800 and 1,000 pounds at this stage.
And how big is he?
Sorry?
How long is he?
I'd say he's at least 4 metres in length now. I'd say he's fully grown at this stage now. As for his age, we reckon that he's over 10 years of age anyway. But he could be, I don't know. I've heard people say he's up to 20 years of age. I would reckon he's about 10 to 12 years of age myself.
And he's fully grown at this stage?
He's fully grown at this stage, yes. You see, he's here with us 5 years now. What's the dog?
He's just gone right over John's shoulders.
But when he came here originally, he was only about 6 feet long.
Rock is getting a bit of a kick out of this, isn't he?
He'll be in the water before long now after him, you know.
And how does fungi react to the dog?
He doesn't take much notice of him, actually. The dog, he'll actually go out and he'll stand on his back. But the dolphin just sinks down and he lets the poor dog float away then. never seems to learn his lesson. He keeps doing it time and time again.
Where's he gone now?
He'll come up from underneath now in a moment.
There he is. He is extremely big. He's bigger than I thought he was. What's the first impression usually from people when they see him? Are they scared?
They think he's a giant, or a monster, like he's a massive size. But after a couple of moments in the water, they realize he's very, very gentle. And it's a beauty to be with him.
So we get into the water with him, will we?
Oh, yes, of course. You'll have to take your suit off.
You must be joking, is this
one? Well, at least take the collar and tie it. Directly under us here.
He seems to be playing with the boat.
Oh, he's
and
playing
surfing
with the boat. You see the way he lifts up the front of the boat, you know. Ready? He's going to lift her up again and set away up there. Yeah. Can you imagine the speed he's going at?
Yeah. And it seems to take little effort.
Oh, no problem.
Well, he didn't let us down anyway.
No. We told him you were coming, so he said he'd be ready.
So he keeps surfacing on each side of the bow of the boat.
That's right. He's looking to see who's inside.
Well, at this stage he must recognise you, Ronnie, does he?
Oh, he does, yeah. He's after drowning us now.
He obviously knows where we're going.
Oh, he does.
He knows it's playtime.
Yes.
Where we were going was a sheltered little cove which John and Ronnie use as an area to get close to fungi in relatively shallow water. It's about 10 metres at its deepest point.
The course, we call it.
You call it the what?
The course.
I've looked up all the ordnance survey maps and it hasn't been given a name on any of them, so yeah. I'm not sure again.
Yeah.
Martin inside tells us that he knows the name, but he just can't recall it at the moment. It's some peculiar name for it, but so far I've failed to find what the actual name is. But it's a beautiful little place, and you can see all the birds up on the ledges. Look, there are guillemots and puffins and just ordinary common seagull.
We're surrounded on three sides by this sheer face. How high is that, Ronnie, do you reckon?
It must be, it's well over 120 feet, I suppose.
It's an amazing sight.
Yes.
So where's Fungi gone? He's in the water here somewhere with
Watch
us.
He's just stretching himself off the rocks all day. He's right behind here.
It's gone very quiet all of a sudden.
He's up here now and he's stretching away and he comes home into this one.
So the thing is now is to get our gear on and...
Let's jump in.
Let's jump in and see what happens.
Oh, there he goes.
Right, John, get your gear on.
Yeah, it's cold enough, you go first.
So, on went the scuba equipment, and after checking that everything was working properly, and that Fungi was still around, I went over the side of the boat.
Hang on to the boat first.
Yeah. Take your own shot.
Right.
You want the spear gun?
My first meeting was, to say the least, scary. But once I got used to this large and very fast animal, it became enormous fun. He really did want to play games. His favourite with me was to approach from behind and tip me gently on the shoulder. When I turned around, he would shoot off out of view. No matter where I looked, he always took me by surprise. I got the distinct impression that he was laughing at me. I must have looked a clumsy fool with all my equipment, a stranger in his world, but a very welcome one. The The best way to attract his attention seemed to be to get two stones from the bottom and rub them together. The noise is detected by his very sensitive hearing, and curiosity eventually wins the day. He gladly stayed only inches away while I stroked and scratched his leathery skin. Being a keen photographer, was anxious to get some shots from the boat, so I swapped my scuba equipment for a snorkel, which would allow me to comfortably swim on the surface. This was where I discovered another game, using one of the oars of the boat. Meantime, John's dog Brock was becoming more and more excited.
Hey,
he's still there with you, look.
Yeah, he's just in there, yeah.
Oh, he's coming right up to me now. Oh, he's...
He's just sitting there.
Yes, he's just behind you there. He had to come up for air, obviously.
Yeah. He's just sitting there, and every time I push the oar close to him, he opens his mouth.
If you push him hard, no effort.
Yeah.
You know, he loves that.
Double side.
Is it double side? Yeah. In come back.
You can hear the dog. Oh, yes, oi! Woo!
I got a mouthful of water.
He's biting him, do you know? Watch it, he's biting your fin.
That's it. Up for air again. Go on, Brock, get him.
He's a gas.
He's fantastic.
He comes within that much of me, and then he goes. It makes you wonder. Who's playing with who?
That's right, yeah. He just is tossed down only passing. They don't care, lads.
But it was as if, when he started jumping really close, that he was saying, you know, okay, I know you're not going to do me any harm, so let's have some fun.
Yeah, he's right behind, you know. Yeah, but you see, when you surface dive down,
yeah.
He, when you come up, he comes with you.
Yeah.
I got a couple of beautiful slides. I hope they turn out, but I got the last one there now was brilliant.
The two of us together?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
You see, most of you had your back turned to me.
Yeah.
We get you up in front of the RT guy.
Well, you never know.
You're watching, yeah, it's for you.
Well, John, we've more or less finished playing with him at this stage, and we're on our way in, but he's following us along, and he's doing the same tricks he was on the way out. How far in will he follow us, do you think?
Well, he'll follow us in a little bit further than what we are now. We've more or less taken a line from this house here on the left-hand side on Burnham, and the tower over here, which is known as Hussey's Folly. More or less a straight line from there, and then unfortunately he will leave us.
He won't cross that line ever, will he?
Very, very seldom he does, but I will see now. I'm sure he won't pass it today.
In the meantime, he's still having his fun anyway. Does he ever... He gets tired anyway eventually, does he, Ronnie?
Oh, he does. At times he decides it's time for lunch and he heads off.
or to meet a friend. He knows we're leaving now.
Now, before he leaves us, he'll do a few spectacular leaps for us.
And so my encounter with the Dingle Dolphin was over. I couldn't help but wonder at how tame this truly wild creature had behaved. But what techniques had been used to make him this way?
To be honest with you, we never really sat down and worked out, whatever techniques we should use. It was just, we felt by swimming with him and by just being natural in the water that maybe he'd come to us. Maybe if we had used, feeding or such, that it might have, reinforced the relationship a lot earlier, but we felt he was wild, and he should be wild in the wild, and left wild in the wild. Mm. But I'm afraid he was a lot more intelligent than we were in the water, he was just there, and we just swam, and that was it.
Mm. When you found him first, or even later on, did you ever contact any experts to get their opinions on why he would be there?
Not in the beginning, but later on, John wrote to Horace Dobbs, just a letter, informing him there was a dolphin in Dingle, and he just wrote back and said, unfortunately he wasn't in a position to come or anything, but that, carry on with the work. Mm. That was in around April of 86. Mm. But at that stage we had, we developed a very good relationship, and the dolphin recognised us at the time. And, we were able to swim. But we did try wearing different pieces of equipment and things and different colours, and to do different little things. It was really from, I suppose, April of 86 on that we started to try everything and anything with the dolphin to make him, let us touch. But then it happened in 86, and from then on we started, doing different exercises.
What was that dive like, the dive when he allowed you to touch him for the first time? Can you remember?
Oh, God, can I remember it? It was magic, We used to go out every day and take up our positions in the mouth of the harbour in Dingle and wait for him to come, and he'd always come and he'd swim to us, with tail fin uppermost, and there he'd sit, and he'd be about an inch away from us. No matter how much you reached, that extra little bit you reached, he just moved that extra little bit away. I remember one day, the day we were, and we just stretched out this day, and he never moved away. It was magic. But you'll get these butterflies in your tummy now, when you think of it. And every time I see people, coming to Dingle and playing with the dolphin and touching the dolphin, I still get the exact same thing feeling happens to me again. Mm. And that's why I can enjoy now, just even being in the boat. I don't have to go into the water when I see the excitement and happiness, of the people.
Mm. How do you feel about all the tourists coming in now? Are they doing any harm, do you think?
No, I think it's great because, not now from the business point of view, but the people become aware of a dolphin. And, when they see the dolphins, long ago they used to shoot dolphins. And now they're more aware of the dolphin. They see, it's something beautiful, and mm. you can interact with a dolphin and swim with them, and they won't harm you or anything.
Are you surprised that he has stayed for so long?
I'm not, to be honest with you, because I feel like that he has everything going for him in Dingle. He's the centre of attraction. He has all the food he needs, and he's damn nice people swimming with him and diving with him, and aren't the people in Dingle nice? Mm.
Has he ever come to any harm? Like, I know, for example, that he swims very close to the propellers of the boats. Has he ever been injured?
He does, yeah. He gets a lot of cuts, but fortunately, they seem to heal up very fast. Generally, about a week to 10 days is the most that you'd see a cut on him, and they seem to clear up.
Because very little is known about dolphins in the wild, John and Ronnie had a golden opportunity to carry out interesting experiments. Some of them very unusual.
You know all these experiments you mm. wanted to do with the dolphin. You want to know, did he understand us? Mm. Would he kind of communicate with us? But how do you communicate with a dolphin? So what we did was we said, look, how would he react to noise and stuff? So we got a lift bag mm. and we put an ordinary little speaker into it. And of course it was filled with air then. And we you know, I just pulled it down and brought it under the water. And the speaker being in air was able to work perfect, and from the boat above we had the music and we played James Last playing the Rose of Tralee, and your men really responded to it. But all it was the noise, to say, and the sound. So over in England there lately now, I was looking at these speakers. It was just pure chance of spotting them. They're waterproof speakers, they can be used actually underwater. And what they're used now for in swimming pools and things, where people are learning to scuba dive, you can give your instructions without ever having to go into the water.
But does the water not travel, or the air, does it not travel so fast through the water that you can't really pick it up?
No, you can pick it up perfect, but you don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
You see, because it light sound travels a lot faster in water than it does in air.
Mm.
So you can hear it perfect, but you can't, you don't know, it is like the engine of a boat. You can hear it perfect underwater, but you don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was perfect underwater. But then we found out after all we had to do was put it on the hull of the boat. And the sound would vibrate through the boat down, and the dolphin could hear it as well, but we didn't know that at the time. But it was like we tried with a mirror to know how would he react to looking at himself in a mirror. And we got a mirror. It was costly in terms of mirrors, because we brought down the mirror and we'd, you know, try and position ourselves in such a way that the dolphin could see the mirror. And after a while then, that he could see the mirror and ourselves in it, himself and the diver in it, because he was, you know, starting to poke it. But after a while, we'd put it down flat. The dolphin would swim over and he'd put a tail fin uppermost again, head down, and he'd looking at it, and then he'd start pecking it. And what he was trying to do was to flip it over to see what was at the other side, where was the other dolphin. But he was breaking the mirror, so then we got a stainless steel sheet, a spatula I think they call it, and we put that down flat, and of course he was tipped at in to turn over, so he realised after a while it was his own reflection, which was very interesting, you know, that there's lots of things. Another thing was at night, you know, I said, did he go to sleep, where did he go, or what did he do? So we just wait until the evening, until it got dark, and you'd follow him out, you know, and try and first of all see where did he go. And we found he was going to a little cave, and he disappeared. So of course we'd wait in for a while, and we'd get inside into the water, duck in and swim in, and with the lamps, and there you see him in an upright position with, you know, maybe less, we'd say greater than 45 degrees, maybe about 60 degrees. And there he in that angle, and his head just the blowhole area just over the water, and he'd be and up and down, you know, and he'd be breathing.
So he snores.
Well, not snores, to say that's the air that's being expelled. Mm-hmm. And why it comes out like that is that there are little water droplets on the hole in the back of his head, you know, the ear hole. And he has to forcefully get out the air to get rid of all the little water droplets as well.
Yeah. What was the first night dive like with him? Must have been fairly scary, was it? Or
well, as you know, night dive, you're always thinking, you know, of what's behind you, what you see in front of you, friend. It wasn't really, I suppose. You know, that we went out and he'd swim in. He used to be very frightened of the light in the beginning. And even still to this day, if you take a photograph of him, using flash, that you're fighting the life out of him and he swims away. But what we did was we started to take out a light with us in the daytime and shine it, and of course being inquisitive, he'd swim over to us and look right directly into the light. And then as time went on, you know, in the evenings as it got dusk, that he was able to recognize that what we had in our hand wasn't going to hurt him. So eventually he didn't take any notes of the light. Some evenings when we'd go on the dives, you know, at night, he'd swim around us, other evenings he'd completely ignore us and go away.
If he was to go tomorrow, Ronnie, what would you think would be the effect on Dingle itself?
Well, there's a lot of people would hurt their pockets more than anything else, because he's been fantastic to Dingle.
How would you feel?
I'd be sad, of course, but I realised that this, I was one of the lucky ones that I had him as much as anyone, I suppose, or more than anyone, and I'd be very sad, but maybe he might go to some other place and give as much enjoyment and love and fun. You know, as he did in Dingle, he might do it some other place. Mm.
He's unique in the sense that he's probably the or one of maybe two dolphins that have come to a location like that and stayed for so long.
That's right, yeah. You know, we only from hearsay that we hear that, you know, dolphins around the world, there's only a handful of them you could count in your hand, that have come and stayed in an area and befriended people. And, you know, it's very rare in that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.